KXSW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. An emergency meeting in Denver. The school board, one day after a shooting, injured two administrators at a high school, the board deciding to put resource officers back in schools.
As a mother of a 15-year-old in this district, and when I sit in those sessions, in those executive sessions, and we discuss matters of safety, I'm also thinking about my child.
Board President Sochi Gaitan. TikTok CEO So Hsu was in the hot seat before the House Energy and Commerce Committee, answering questions about worries that the social media company is gathering information for China.
TikTok will remain a place for free expression and will not be manipulated by any government.
Hsu says his company is taking measures to distance itself from the Chinese wing of its parent company. The House failed to override President Biden's first veto. It was a Republican-led bill that would have banned the consideration of environmental, social, or governance issues in retirement plans. This is ABC News. Tuberculosis cases are rising in the U.S., according to the CDC, which reports a 5% jump in cases to 8,300. The CDC also warning about five child deaths in Illinois from a strep A infection. Those are up nationwide. Season typically runs from December through April. Ford's electric vehicle business has lost $3 billion before taxes in the past 2 years. The company expects to lose the same amount this year because it's investing in new technology. Ford expecting its electric vehicle unit to be profitable by late 2026. The coroner in Beaver County, Pennsylvania, is investigating what killed a man found dead in his home. Could it be natural causes or one of the 100 venomous snakes he kept? Or maybe it was the crocodile. Neighbors waiting for answers, too.
It's sad that they lost someone. I feel bad for that part, but at the same point in time, why are y'all living with all them snakes in that little itty-bitty old house in a residential neighborhood?
Andy Field, ABC News.
Hey, folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had five or six beers and only one fish.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A 15-year-old in Milwaukee is under arrest. It's connected to the mass shooting that killed another 15-year-old earlier this week. So-called conversion therapy will be allowed in Wisconsin until at least April of next year. The state Senate sent a ban to committee yesterday where it's not likely to get a vote this session. Conversion therapy critics say it doesn't make gay kids straight. In fact, it makes things worse.
People are going to continue to be allowed to screw up people's lives, to increase the chance of them committing suicide, turning to drugs and alcohol, and having a miserable life. That's what we're doing today.
That's Democratic Senator Tim Carpenter of Milwaukee. In sports, the Bucks beat San Antonio last night 130-94. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Work for you. Join us daily at therickssmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is The Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I'm going to start off with the president tweeting out today, 13th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act. Yes, the dreaded Obamacare is now a teenager. And look, the president was spot on. Said it hasn't just survived. It's stronger than ever. Points out that 40 million people in this country now have peace of mind that comes with having health security and health coverage. He said he'll never stop fighting like hell to protect and strengthen the ACA, for those who don't know, the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known derogatorily as the dreaded Obamacare. Yes, 13 years old. And good on Biden for pointing out the fact that Republicans were against it from the beginning and have done everything they can do over the last 13 years, not only to stop it from the beginning, but to destroy it and stifle it all along. You know, I said years ago, wasn't a huge fan of the ACA because I didn't think it went far enough. There was so much more we could have, should have, and I wanted to see done. Didn't happen. But I said this could be what happened with Medicare. Again, conservatives and right-wing, you know, crazy, no, Medicare will be bad. Medicare will destroy healthcare. And what's it done? It's given generations the ability to retire with dignity, knowing that they've got health security. And look, if we expanded that health security to younger workers, say 50 and above, you would see enormous number of people retiring, which is why they're never going to do it. But he points out, look, you know, the Republicans have done everything they can do. Every court challenge you can imagine, sabotage from the former guy, over 50 attempts to repeal it, everything they can do. And look, states not expanding it. He says he's got a better idea. Protect, strengthen, extend. And today, the good news coming out of North Carolina, a red state, so to speak, in terms of this, they have finally legislatively decided that they are going to approve the expansion of the Affordable Care Act so people in North Carolina, low-income adults, can get health insurance. Now, again, remember, these are working class people. They're not indigent. Because what we do in this country, and I think we forget this, we take the old and the very young, and we insure them. And we take the poor, and we insure them through Medicare. Medicare is for seniors. Medicaid is for the poor and the indigent. We already take care of those. We take the most expensive people out of health care. The first 5 years of life, over half of the births in this country are paid for by Medicaid. And the elderly, the last 5 years of life, paid for by Medicare. We take all the real expensive stuff out of the health insurance industry, and then we hand over the profitable stuff to insurance companies, who then gouge us and rob us and charge incredible and just absorbent premiums. And then there's co-insurance and co-payments and co-deductibles and co-this and co-that and, oh, don't forget this. Nickeling, diming you right to death. And then, you know, obviously fighting when you're sick for the care. And I've been saying for the longest time, I want to see one insurance plan, one excellent health insurance plan, one form, one way of payment, so it streamlines our healthcare system, it streamlines the funding, and gets us to use those healthcare dollars in better ways. You know, preventative care would be a great idea. Taking people when they're sick would be a great idea, instead of having this Band-Aid hodgepodge system. But I'll be honest, the ACA made it into the teen years. I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought Republicans would eventually kill it. They didn't. No mission accomplished moment for the GOP, and good on them. As the president did point out, he said, look, you remember when, talking to our women folk friends, remember when just being a woman was considered a pre-existing condition? The Affordable Care Act changed that. He said, MAGA Republicans in Congress may have forgotten, but I haven't. And I think that's a good shot, because every time you hear someone talk about Biden or Dark Brandon, it's always, his memory's failing, he doesn't remember anything. He'll remember that. Good on him, and a good anniversary. Because look, here's the thing. I actually know people who the ACA saved their lives. We used to do these food drives. And you know, right when this stuff was happening, we had people who came out and said, look, you know, I got insurance for the first time in years because I had all of these pre-existing conditions. And now I have insurance, and I was able to go to see a doctor, and that doctor caught something early, and it saved my life. And I heard that story multiple times over the years. Things that used to be considered pre-existing conditions that you couldn't possibly be insured for, now people have access to insurance. That's a, you know, to steal a Joe Biden line, that's a BFD. That's a big freaking deal. And good on them for doing it. And look, I love the shot to the Republicans because they didn't get their way. Also today, I don't know if you saw the big TikTok hearing. Kathy McMorris Rogers, the chair of this committee investigating TikTok. I love how everybody, and it was everybody, right, left, center, everybody was going after the CEO of TikTok. Everybody. And it's not like they don't deserve it. But I found bipartisanship. And I go, this is what bipartisanship looks like. Everybody is attacking TikTok. In fact, you know, McMorris Rogers said that TikTok is a weapon. And you had everybody attacking them. You know, they're part of the Chinese Communist government and all of this stuff. And truth, yeah, they're connected. There's all of this stuff. There's all of this information gathering. There's all this surveillance. There's all this stuff that we all know. There's all this stuff. And we've known for a long time. And it's one of these things where I go, you know, it's lawmakers' job to pass laws. Maybe you could have thought of this, I don't know, back when this stuff started, because social media has become the Wild West from day one. Nobody bothered to go, maybe it's a bad idea to have a platform that kids sign up for without any real age verification, and then it takes all their information and their eye movements and their keystroke patterns and their photos and all of their tracking location stuff. Maybe giving that information, I don't know, to anyone, corporate America, the Chinese Communist government, you know, anyone. Did no one think this was a bad idea? Now, look, I'm all in favor of doing something on the TikTok front. Has to happen. Because, and this is what I love. This is the thing I actually kind of do love. People are shocked that TikTok is doing this kind of thing, that the Chinese Communist government, you know, created this entity or helped create this entity to peddle misinformation, to peddle disinformation, to be able to gather information, you know, our data and all this. People are shocked, and you know, my first thought is, well, they learned from us, because we've been doing this for 40, 50, 60, 80 years. We've been doing this for a long time. You would think, having done this kind of stuff, we would know how to defend against it. That's the part that I'm kind of stuck with, of how inept we are at protecting our own citizens from foreign disinformation, from the kind of propaganda that, you know, did come out in 16. Like it or not, the Russian propaganda machine was very powerful. Now, did it make racists racist? No, but it did reinforce, and it did bring them together, and it did feed them red meat to keep them riled and all twisted up in the panties. Because that's what good disinformation does. That's what good propaganda does. It takes your already, those things that you're hiding deep down, and magnifies them. So it's surprising to me that our people are shocked that they're using it against us. Now, for me, I looked at the hearing, and maybe something's going to happen. Maybe. I don't know. But the CEO who was taking the beating from both sides, because usually in these hearings, a CEO comes in and one side's going to be against them, one side's going to be for them. So at least you'll get half a break where you'll get attacked from one guy and you go, okay, the next guy's not going to be hard on me. I get a breather. This guy didn't get a breather from either side. He was attacked from both sides. And right, like I said, rightly so. But I got to give him credit. Unlike Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, he went in there and he took his comeuppance. But he shot back. And there was one point where someone was asking him, can you tell me 100% that you have no ties and this other company that has, you know, ties to you has no ties with the Chinese Communist government? And the guy's like, you know, I can't say 100% because, you know, we might use Microsoft. Uh-oh. Trouble. Insinuating that what we all know is that if you're doing business in China, you got ties to the Chinese Communist government. Think Microsoft, think Apple, think all of them, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all of them in some way, shape, or form. If they're in China, they're being influenced by the Chinese Communist government. And this is one of those weird things where you go, maybe we should, I don't know, make sure none of them are doing this kind of stuff. Make sure none of them are collecting our data and selling it. Making sure that maybe none of them have the ability to profit off of our information. Maybe, I don't know, stopping the creation of profiles that keep feeding us garbage. Maybe an algorithm that feeds our worst inclinations. Maybe we should stop that. Because look, I'm not against the free flow of ideas. But when your algorithm is set up in such a way that they're deciding what is popular and they're heating things up to get on your timeline, to get between in front of your eyes because, hey, you stopped and looked at this. You looked at this. They're reading your eyes to see what you're looking at to feed you more content because they want you addicted to it. I mean, giant red flags for every social media user. Do you think anything like this will happen in a kumbaya kind of bipartisan way like we saw today to other ones? I seriously doubt it. But it'll be interesting to see. It will be interesting to see. Now, for me, the story of the day also was China. China says it opposes a forced sale of TikTok because evidently the Biden administration has said, look, yeah, you can keep TikTok in the country. You just have to divest from the Chinese Communist government and this Beijing parent company, ByteDance. You do that, no problems. Well, China's against it. I find it interesting that that's being played into this. But a very, very entertaining hearing, watching both sides finally agree. Kind of refreshing for a change, where we can find an issue that we can both be on the same side with. Except if you're a TikTok user, and then you're kind of upset because, oh, I could lose my TikTok. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Does this matter? Is social media as powerful as we think it is and give it credit for or responsibility for? Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you missed any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Quick break. Right back.
We We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on in France, but wow. A million people out in the streets today protesting President Macron's decision to unilaterally go against the legislature and to say, you know what, we're going to impose it. We're doing it anyway. We're going to pass for the first time in, I guess it's been a couple of decades, an increase in the retirement age. Going to move it 2 years forward. You're going to have to be 2 years older to be able to collect the retirement because, you know, hey, we're going to make it solvent by making it harder for people to get. Now, what I find interesting, that he's denounced the violent protests that he caused by doing this because the people of France said, no, this is not what we want. And for those who don't know what this is, in case you're just kind of chiming in, they've raised the retirement age. Now, understand, we're talking about doing the same thing here in the U.S. Republicans are without shame coming out and saying, you know what, for the massive workers, you know, people my age, you're going to raise it from 67 to 70. So we're just going to put that goalpost further down the road. So 70 is where they want to go. And some have said even higher they want to go than 70. They then want to start indexing it so it gets further down the road as younger people come online. So 70 is where they wanted to go. In France, they're flipping out and rioting, basically. The town of Bordeaux was set on fire, according to headlines. Now, a couple of dumpsters and some windows were broken, so media's got to go crazy. When working people get mad and a window goes broken, it's riot time! But they're raising the age from 62 to 64. And, you know, I'm going, you know, okay, I would be okay with that. Oh, wait a minute, you would have to take ours back. We'd have to wind that back, because we already had this fight. And you know what happened when they did this to us? Nothing. Nobody, not a peep out of working people. Did they riot? Did they riot? Did they protest? Were the highways shut down? You know, did people call their? No. But oh my gosh, you take some dumb TV show off of TV. Oh my God, sky falling. What? Protect myself? Riots in the streets. What? There's a guy dressing up like a woman and dancing? Sky is falling. But screwing you out of retirement? Attacking your ability to retire? No, don't worry. And look, you know, these worker issues don't, for some odd reason, do not come front and center in this country. I don't know what it is. I don't know if we've been beaten down so much that we now go, you know, what's the point? It's never going to matter. We're going to get screwed. We've been getting screwed for 50 years. Corporate America's got all the power. They've broken the unions down. Is it that? Is it just that hopelessness, that desperation, that feeling of powerlessness
that working people go, oh, you can't fight City Hall on these things. But, oh my gosh, you know, a dog runs off a leash. Protests. It's crazy. I mean, it really is crazy. And I talk to working people all the time. And I say, you know, do you not see what the Republican Party has been doing for 50 years? Yeah, because, you know, I look like someone who could be a Republican. I get this all the time. You should be a Republican. I thought for sure, because you're not someone who, I don't know what the image is. And I say, no, look, I've been paying attention to what's happened to my paycheck for all the years I've been working. I've been paying attention to what happens to working people in this country when we follow conservative ideology. When we follow these pro-business, and look, it's Democrats do it to an extent. Neoliberalism, horrible. Which is why, again, I come back to happy with Joe Biden. We're moving away from some of those things. And that's a good thing. But I keep asking, when are we going to have these moments? I look in Florida right now. Florida, their governor, who's trying to, he's trying to out-Trump Trump. He's trying to out-hate. He's trying to do all the things he can, beat up on the libs. We're going to make the libs, we're going to get lib tears. He's going after unions right now, public sector unions, because evidently that's the right-wing chew toy. They've got to destroy those public sector unions because they still represent about a third of the industry's workforce. So you still have pretty high density in the public sector. So what we've got to do is we've got to figure out how to destroy that, even in a right-to-work state like Florida, or, as I always say, a no-rights-at-work state like Florida. They are moving a piece of legislation, you know, basically what has been the right-wing wet dream for a very long time in these no-rights-at-work states, that if membership, dues-paying membership, falls below 50%, they gut the whole thing. Now, remember, in these no-rights-at-work states, everyone paying dues to the union is purely voluntary. You get all the benefits. The union negotiates the contract. The union fights for job security, so you're not an at-will employee. There actually has to be a reason to fire you. There's a whole list of, you know, the whole contract is open to everybody, whether you're paying dues or not in these freeloader states. And they don't want even that, because, again, they don't want the contract. They want desperation. They want at-will employees. They want people scared all the time. They want people running at their will, especially people like DeSantis, people like Trump, who have already said, look, you know, we're going to go in and we're going to make all of these government workers loyal to us. They want to bring patronage back so that they can use the government as an arm of their reward system or their punishment system. And this should anger every working person. Because once they start pulling these levers for purely political purposes, we get hurt in this. We're the ones who are harmed by this. And again, I go back and I look at all of the things that are happening. All of the push to destroy child labor laws, to destroy tax laws, to benefit the wealthy and corporations. And again, who loses? We do. I look at New York. New York Power Authority just allocated a ton, or actually 10.7 megawatts of low-cost energy from this Niagara Power Project hydropower plant to the Niagara County plant Amazon facility. So we're giving low-cost, cheap energy to Amazon for them to go to a place they were going to go to anyway. And they're going to make huge profit off of. But you know what? That single mother who's struggling to keep the heat on, they want to cut LIHEAP. They want to cut her ability to keep the heat on. But you know what? The Amazon place, we're going to give them the cheap electricity. We're going to help them. And there are a couple of other places that they're giving cheap power to. But Amazon, really? Do they really need corporate welfare? And this is the kind of stuff, it's on both sides of the political aisle. This is why I reach out to everyone. These working class issues, they're important. Every single day, they're important. Protecting child labor laws, extremely important. And you look at a number of Republican states, what they're doing, well, we're just going to loosen those up a little bit. Because they're playing on us. Now, we all had jobs when we were kids. Teaches good work ethic. And what they're actually doing is they're setting it up. They're setting it up so that your kids can compete against you in the workplace. Maybe even take your job for half the pay. Wouldn't that be conservative paradise? Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any of the program, make sure you download the podcast. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2005. That was the day 15 workers were killed and another 170 were seriously injured in an explosion at the BP refinery in Texas City, Texas. Workers were restarting a unit down for repairs. As they filled the tower with gasoline, it overflowed, sending a geyser into the air. The igniting hydrogen vapor cloud created a chain of explosions that destroyed the nearby trailer housing temporary contract workers. The explosion shed light on many key problems throughout the industry. The increasing use of contract workers, safety shortcuts, and qualitative lack of industrial process controls. A 2007 Chemical Safety Board report found that years of cost-cutting, poor worker training, and a safety culture with serious deficiencies left the plant vulnerable to catastrophe, but company leaders ignored the warning signs. OSHA fined BP $21.3 million and more, but ultimately settled for $13 million. For years, the catastrophe was studied closely to eliminate the hazards. But 10 years later, a 2015 joint investigative series by the Texas Tribune and Houston Chronicle found that, quote, "There is little evidence that the 15 lives lost on that March day brought much of anything. The death toll at U.S. refineries has barely slowed. At least 64 energy company employees and contractors were killed in the decade before the blast. At least 58 have died in the 10 years since. The Department of Energy has tracked nearly 350 fires at refineries in the last 8 years, almost one a week. Refinery workers have gone on strike, demanding, among other issues, an increased emphasis on safety. For the United Steelworkers, it is a daily fight to implement the critical safety actions the union developed in the aftermath of the blast.
What's wrong with us? Her nation's moral compass, I mean. I don't like being a downer, just focusing on wrongs, but some wrongs stand out as morally abominable, such as this one. It's about hundreds of thousands of our low-income elders who, toward the end of life, when frail and most vulnerable, find themselves cast into a part of the Medicaid system that has been deliberately structured by Congress to subject them to needless deprivations and daily indignities. These are our loved ones with serious health problems who need long-term care in nursing homes, and two-thirds of them rely on Medicaid to cover their costs. To get this benefit, they surrender all of their income, which goes to defray their nursing home expenses. Of course, for a decent existence beyond mere survival, we all rely on a few little things that are basic to our humanity. So Medicare authorizes each state to set a monthly, quote, personal needs allowance, so their elderly patients can cover their hygiene and grooming products, a book or CD, a small gift for grandchildren, a chocolate bar, etc. Good, but then Mr. Minji walked in. In 1987, Congress set the minimum for this allowance at a meager $30 a month, under $8 a week. Congress has not raised it in the 36 years since, and most states still provide only a pittance, despite inflation and monopoly price gouging on practically everything. So our state and national leaders, who freely dole out massive corporate subsidies and tax giveaways to billionaires, are leaving ill seniors with so little spending money that they must ration their toothpaste and scrimp pennies to buy a rare treat from the vending machine. This is Jim Hightower saying, I know this is small in the global scale of human indignities, but that makes it an even bigger moral failure for our society. It would take so little to do so much for so many.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday on the program, gave you a little bit of homework to go and read what I think is an incredibly important article. The GOP's idea of youth. Little League, prom, Try Working in a Slaughterhouse and Marrying at 10, written by Tim Noah over at the New Republic. I hope you did read it. But if you didn't, well, that's why we've asked our good friend Tim Noah to come share some thoughts on his article and where we are going politically on this issue. You know, the party of family values, you know, get those kids married and out of the household and working in those slaughter shops. Yeah, yeah, that's, could that be the future? That's why I've asked Tim to come and share some thoughts. Tim, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So the title, is that hyperbolic?
No, I mean, I think that you do have, the Republican Party has become the party that supports child labor and child marriage. It's very hard to construe it any other way. Even in states like Wyoming, which, you know, has a Republican legislature, and to their great credit, legislature with, you know, two super Republican supermajorities did vote to raise the marriage age from, there was no lower limit, and they set it at 18, as the United Nations would like all 50 states to do. And they did this, and these Republicans did this, and the Wyoming GOP went berserk campaigning against it.
You just can't make this stuff up. And when I talk to people, I go, no, look, Iowa, look at the Iowa bill. They literally want to give the slaughterhouses immunity from kids getting hurt cleaning, you know, saw blades. You can't make this stuff up. You look at states that are, you know, again, like you said, Tennessee, what they're doing with their marriage laws. I mean, you know, I asked the question, are you being hyperbolic? Because I figured you'd go, here, blah, here are all these examples, because they're all over the place.
It's all over the place. I mean, there has been progress over the years in the states raising the marriageable age to 18, but it's been slow and it's been hard, and it has been in the face of a lot of Republican opposition.
It's crazy because what you'll hear, and the defense that I hear, and you talk about it as well, is this deference to parents. You know, well, you know, we love parents. Kids, I don't know, but love the parents, especially crazy ones.
Right. And, you know, the United States is going around the world trying to tell other third world countries, you can't be marrying these kids off when they're 14 years old. And also, you can't be putting these kids to work when they're 12 or 13. And we thought that we were past that in the United States, but the GOP is trying to bring it back. It's unbelievable.
I mean, this is the part that gets me. I mean, there's a lot of talk around the transgender issue and parents' rights and the marriage issue and parents' rights. And look, I don't have the answers for all of it. But what I do know is that government, you know, shouldn't be involved in too much of it. But I think setting reasonable restrictions, you know, on certain ages, I'm not horribly against. But getting married and you know, working in slaughterhouses, and I don't know. I'm kind of struggling with this.
Well, you know, the argument, well, let's take them one by one. The sort of child labor, you're seeing legislatures pushing to ease restrictions on child labor. And we've seen two bills signed into law in the last few months, both by, you know, kind of Republican darlings, one of them by Sarah Sanders in Arkansas, and the other by Chris Sununu in New Hampshire. It's unbelievable that politically ambitious people are signing these bills into law. It really makes you wonder what appeals to the base these days.
Well, do you think it has to do with the fact that so many people, especially my age, look back on our childhood and have these memories of, you know, we got our first job. And, you know, my first job at 8 years old was I delivered the evening newspaper. And then when I was 9, I had the morning and the evening newspaper.
There is an exception. There is an exception in existing law for delivering the newspaper.
No, absolutely. So we all remember the jobs we had and the hours that we put in it because it taught work ethic. And we're thinking that it's the same kind of thing when the reality is so many kids are being exploited. I mean, you just saw the packing solutions place and all the kids that they had working for them in slaughterhouses.
In a company owned by the Blackstone Group. I mean, that just blew my mind. You had more than 100 kids were employed by this company, Packers Sanitation Services, Inc., which cleans slaughterhouses overnight. And they had kids starting at the age of 13 doing this work. They were cleaning meat and bone cutting saws. I mean, it's against the law for this to happen, and they know it. And there have been some reports that the supervisors tried to pressure the kids into telling the truth about their age. And this is a company owned by the Blackstone Group. And of course, the Blackstone Group can say, well, this is completely unacceptable. We had no idea.
It's a third party group. We didn't know.
You know, my guess is they weren't too curious either. They probably didn't put a lot of effort into finding out whether these practices were occurring.
But the thing that gets me, and I've had a number of these conversations with people who want to say, no, you know, kids should have jobs. And I agree. Everyone should have a first job. And
they're allowed to have jobs.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But the idea of we're now going to have them competing against their parents in dangerous conditions, I'm struggling with. And then my favorite part is you brought up parental rights. You know, the Huckabee bill, you know, does away with work permits, basically. And parental rights.
They said, we're not going to check the ages of these kids who go to work. You know, and the argument for it is that, yes, it interferes with parents' rights. Well, guess what? That's why that was the argument back in the early 20th century when we started passing laws against child labor. The parents were allowing this to happen, encouraging it to happen. And the law felt it had to push back. Yes, parents should be in charge of their kids most of the time, but when they abuse, when they're abusive, and I think sending a kid into a slaughterhouse overnight is abusive, then there should be a law saying you can't do that.
Yeah, I think that's common. Is this a point where maybe we could agree on that, where everyone might agree with that, maybe?
Well, I take heart in the vote in the Wyoming legislature, right. But I'm also dispirited that the Wyoming GOP felt it had to campaign against it. And there's a guy in Tennessee who introduced a bill. Who's this guy? I forget. You can get married at 17 with parental consent. And the Republican state representative, Robert Tom Leatherwood, introduced a bill last year that eliminated the age requirement for marriage. So he wants to go back to the Stone Age. It's, you know, I think it's partly part of the appeal for Republicans is it's a culture war issue.
Yeah, I remember the whole grooming thing, and that came up in that debate. And I remember it because there's a state rep in that area. I think his name is Ross, who actually gave a high school girl a college scholarship and then ended up marrying her a couple of years later. He was in his 40s. She was like 17. Now they're, you know, they were over 18 when they got married, but the grooming process, I'm sure, began much sooner. That's perfectly okay.
Well, the child marriages are an absolute epidemic in the United States. We don't think of ourselves as that kind of country, but there have been 300,000 child marriages between 2000, I think it was, in 2018, and some of them as young as 10 years old. And 20% of those 300,000 involved kids, you know, it's almost always girls, who were below the age of consent. So basically, this is legally sanctioned pedophilia.
Yeah, we talk about things that happen in other countries, and you said it a moment ago. We're preaching to other countries, and this stuff's happening right in our backyard. And thanks to the GOP, they're giving them the cover of law. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Tim Noah. He's a staff writer over at The New Republic. You can check out his most recent piece, GOP's idea of youth, little leagues, proms, try working in a slaughterhouse and marrying at 10. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. So what's the messaging out of this? I've been saying Democrats need to take this and hammer on this, and especially the PSSI group, who literally had kids working overnight cleaning these packing houses. And I know they have got small hands. They can get into smaller places. I get the argument. And they're cheap and exploitable. But should Democrats take on to this and make this like a battle cry? I mean, because this is something I think people need to know about.
I think it's disgraceful. I mean, you know, this is one of the first things that FDR went after in the New Deal. It was considered the most outrageous of all of the wrongs that the New Deal sought to right, was the exploitation of children. How could it not be? And the idea that we want to go back to those days is just mind-boggling.
So let me ask you this, because just this past weekend I was up in Lawrence, Massachusetts. We went through the area where the Bread and Roses strike happened. Over the summer, we were up in Scranton, took a tour of a coal mine, that operated 100 years ago, and heard about all of the horrible abuses of workers, and especially children who were working on the job. I think the American people, if told this is where we were heading, would be appalled, especially if they believed it was their kids. I think why no one's as outraged as they should be is because they know. I know it's not going to be my kids who are going to be put in that position. I know it's not going to be other middle class, white kids and upper middle class people's kids who are going to be. These are going to be immigrant kids. These are going to be poor people of color. That's who's going to be stuck in these positions.
Right. And, there was a New York Times, a very good New York Times expose that appeared, I think, about a month ago about specifically about these immigrant kids who were doing something like 2/3 of the kids that minors that HHS is supposed to be supervising, these migrant kids, about 2/3 of them have done child labor in violation of child labor laws. And a lot of them aren't going to school at all. And this would be a pretty good issue for Republicans to beat up Democrats about. Because this is happening on Biden's watch. And we've seen a 37% increase just this year over last year in child labor. You're not hearing a peep out of Republicans. You know why? Because they support child labor.
No, I mean, they're laying the groundwork to make it perfectly acceptable. You're spot on.
They're pushing laws. There are four laws that have been passed just in the last year, I think, that advance child labor ops. One of them I don't make much of a fuss about because it was in New Jersey and they expanded the number of hours kids could work in the summertime. And I'm fine with that because they're not in school in the summertime.
No, I'm fine with that, too. I mean, the reality is I want my kids to work. My kids have had jobs. But we've supervised them because I want them to learn the benefits of hard work. I want them to know when to show up on time, how to do a good day's labor, how to get the self-esteem that comes from and the self-respect of doing a job and doing all those things. I think there's some therapeutic qualities to work. I just don't want it to be under exploitive conditions like we see in a lot of these places.
Yeah, I mean, the Sarah Sanders thing where there's no check, she's eliminated the age check on these kids. And in New Hampshire, they lowered, I think, to 14 the age at which kids could be working in bars and kind of clearing tables. And, you don't want kids that age around alcohol. And what was the third one? Oh, the third one lowered the age of kids who could be working in child care centers. And, again, you want to be very careful about who you're trusting a bunch of kids to. You want it to be somebody with some level of maturity.
No, I mean, it's crazy. Last question I've got for you. Does this end at some point? Because my mind is we're revisiting 100 years ago. My mind is all of the bad policies of 100 years ago, I think, are coming back. We're going back to the days of Lochner, where if you're a worker in this country and if you're hungry enough and desperate enough to work for poverty wages in desperate conditions, hey, that's your right, because we're breaking up unions and destroying labor laws and child labor, same in that same vein. This is all setting us up in a direction where, the more desperate you are, the more exploitable you are.
Absolutely. If you support the New Deal, suddenly that makes you some crazy extreme leftist in this country, and the New Deal achieved great things for this country, and the Republicans are systematically trying to repeal it and send us back into the 19th century.
Yeah, as I say, they're attempting to repeal the 20th century and doing a pretty good job of it, because we're still focused on the division and all the outrage candy they feed us, while their legislatures are doing really horrible things under the cover of crazy. But Tim, I appreciate the time. Great article. I hope people will take a look at it. GOP's idea of youth. Little League prom try working in a slaughterhouse and marrying at 10, written by Tim Noah, staff writer over at the New Republic. Tim, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. Again, make sure you check out his article. We'll get links out on social media how you can do that. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this with your thoughts. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1918. That was the day the trial of 101 industrial workers of the world began in Chicago. Their alleged crimes? Speaking out against U.S. involvement in World War I. They were tried under the Espionage Act, but they were really targeted for prosecution because of their outspoken and radical labor organizing. In Chicago, 87 members of the union were held in the Cook County Jail for nearly a year before their trial. The so-called evidence in the case consisted mainly of newspaper articles and letters written by the IWW members. Most of them were before the U.S. had even entered the war. The trial lasted until August. The presiding judge was Kenshaw Mountain Landis, who shortly after the verdict would leave the bench to become the commissioner of Major League Baseball. In all, 150 Wobblies faced charges in Chicago, Wichita, Kansas, and Sacramento, California. Many received harsh sentences ranging from 5 to 25 years in prison. One of those convicted was Ralph Chaplin, the author of the labor anthem Solidarity Forever. In Leavenworth Prison, he continued to write verse. His poems reflected his yearning for freedom, including the lines, "Somewhere the dawn breaks laughing o'er the sea, to splash with gold the city's domes and towers, and countless men seek visions wide and free, in that alluring world that is now ours. But no one there could prize as much as we the open road, the smell of grass and flowers." In 1924, the last IWW prisoner from these trials was finally released from prison. But the crackdown had taken a major toll on labor organizations across the nation.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So, I mean, this for me is one of those dividing lines, you know, which side are you on moment, if you will, to go back to the labor frame. Are we going to make, you know, child labor great again? You want your kids working, you know, 40, 50 hours. I was looking at a conversation on Twitter today between a couple of guys, and there was this guy saying when he was, you know, 14 years old, he was working 50, 60 hours a week because he claims he wanted to. Now, granted, he wasn't probably making minimum wage. He admitted was working under the table, no workers' comp, no unemployment, no protections whatsoever. Is that the kind of world we want for our kids? I'm not sure. Let's go to the phone. It's got Cheryl Ann on line one. Cheryl Ann, how are you today?
Fine.
What's on your mind?
I'm fine.
Okay, what's on your mind? You got a question, a thought, comment?
Yes. I would like to talk to you about insurance. There's insurance out there for seniors over 65. It's called Senior Life. It pays for everything. Your hospital. It pays for your prescriptions.
Is this one of the advantage plans?
It pays for your doctors.
Is this one of the advantage plans?
Your surgeons. It pays everything.
Okay. All right. Is there a point here?
Everybody
a sales pitch?
Should check into it.
Okay. I asked you, is this part of the Medicare Advantage? Okay. I appreciate
it. I have the number here.
No, I appreciate the call, Cheryl Ann. No, I'm assuming this is one of the Advantage plans. That, you know, I'm not a fan of in any way, shape, or form. I know a lot of people are pitching these Advantage plans. I've known people who have had them, and yeah, there's a lot of sweeteners on the front end. They're able to negotiate drug prices, which is why I think Medicare should be able to do this. But I've known people who down the road got actually sick, and guess what? They got stiffed. It's just one of those things. I'm not in favor of, and I'm not going to promote. Let's go to the phones. Got Alice on line three. Alice, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
What's on your mind?
You know, you would think that we as a nation, specifically since our right-wing fellow citizens claim to be so moral and upstanding, that you would think that at least we would be able to agree on what definition of the age that a child becomes an adult. You know, that we would be able to say, well, if you're under 18, I'm sorry, you're still considered a child and you can't get married.
Yeah, no.
I just find it ridiculous that they are going, oh, well, you know, 10. I mean, that's even worse than back in the Middle Ages, at least. The Catholic Church decided that the age for girls to get married at the youngest age was age 12. So I guess they're going past that.
Yeah, I mean, But
have a good evening, Rick.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it, Alice. No, this is one of those things that, you know, and I got an email here from Janice who says, but you want kids to change their gender. No, I don't. And I think we should be having a conversation about this and not just yelling at each other. And as I've said before, this is one of those things that I don't have all the answers to. But I know government setting hard restrictions on gender-affirming care, I'm struggling with. But what we do know is when you're looking at marriage ages, we do know there's a lot of abuse in this as well. I want our government to oversee things, not take parental rights away that don't have to be taken away. But we should be protecting kids, and that's across the board. So for me, I'm in the middle of a lot of things. So that's another tough one. The question that I keep coming back to is we get into these polar opposite camps where there are things that we should agree on. We should agree that, you know, marriage should be between consensual adults. Adults. I'm sorry, I don't see and I know I've got friends who want to take us back to the good old days where, you know, 13, 14-year-olds got married, started families, and, you know, were raised on the farm. That's not the world we live in. And I also have friends on the other side who think that, you know, kids at 7 years old can change their gender. I'm struggling with that one. We as a country are in an interesting moment. But what I see coming out of my friends in the Republican Party is scary. It's dangerous. It's moving us back 100 years to where we're creating a desperation class of workers. And for me, that's always been the wheelhouse. I want to get to another email from John. John says, I'm all in favor of free speech, but I don't believe our founding fathers intended that phrase to end up as free lies. It's not just China and Russia. It's major media outlets like F News and the Republican Party that through proliferation of lies keep their followers ginned up on fear, hatred, and anger. Somehow the endless repetition of lies on social media has to be reined in, even if it takes legislation to require fact-checking before allowing such posts. And in the computer age, it's really pretty easy for these huge, highly profitable platforms to do so. I'm struggling with this. It's John. I'm struggling with this. The protections that are given to these platforms, I think, have to be reeled back. There's part of me that goes, we have to do something on people identifying who they are. And holding people accountable. Free speech is only free between you and your government. You have the ability to not be censored between each other. These platforms are cesspools of anger, hatred, and some of the most vile stuff that you're ever going to see. And there's part of me goes, it's by design. It's the reason that it's there. But I appreciate the thoughts, John. And maybe this is where this takes us. I want to hear you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.